Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Jonathan El Khoury, what an absolute joy to have you on the line with us again here on Hi FM.
Hi, thank you for having me again. How are you doing?
I am most well with a massive smile on my face. I didn't think we'd scoop you a second time, so really glad that we did. Jonathan, when we spoke last, we examined your story about the fact that you left Lebanon as a young kid. Your father had been in Sadal, the South Lebanese army. We spoke about that issue. And then we jumped ahead and we spoke about your recent trip to Dubai and what's happening in the Middle East. But I never got to touch on the Lebanese portion of your identity, and that absolutely fascinates me. I think what fascinates me more than anything is that you're a refugee, less than 300 kilometers away from your old home.
Well, make it less than 60 kilometers from my home.
Oh my goodness me, Jonathan, that's even more bizarre. I mean, it's within touching distance. It is just, So I want to take you back a couple of weeks to that awful, terrible explosion at Beirut port. And I want to ask you about your reaction to that.
Well, that was just crazy. I remember I was at work, and then suddenly I started getting some push messages from news outlets saying that there has been an explosion in the Beirut port and no one knows what is the reason for that. And then when I entered one of these links and I saw the video from the port, from one of the homes way back in Beirut, suddenly I saw this huge mushroom of explosion heading out. It's like from a movie. I didn't expect it to be that huge. And one of the first thoughts that went through my mind was, oh my God, what is going on with my relatives that are living in Beirut and have shops in that port? So immediately I phoned my mom and we tried to reach out to some relatives that we know abroad for them to contact them for us. But it was about a few hours till we got messages back that everything is okay, although there's a lot of destructions in their homes and shops, but there wasn't any casualties from my family. But this tragedy caused more than 200 people of their lives and about 4,000 injuries and hundreds of thousands that lost, you know, their housing.
And Jonathan, I suppose what's so incredibly sad about that particular incident was that it shouldn't have happened in the first place.
Exactly. And this is what drove us all crazy, is that I don't know how to say it in English, but it wasn't supposed to be there to begin with. And it took the Lebanese government more than 12 years to decide what to do with it. And a lot of people claimed that the port is part of Hezbollah's, you know, places of them to control. And immediately the voices went against Hezbollah because they are now responsible. They said Israel, our enemy, never dared to do something like that to Lebanon in this scale of destruction. And in one day, Hezbollah did more damage than Israel ever did in all of its wars against Lebanon.
You mentioned something, and I hadn't thought about this aspect of it at all. You just said to us that you are less than 60 kilometers from your family, from your ancestral village in Lebanon, and yet you said you had to wait for family members overseas to contact family in Lebanon. Is that because Israel and Lebanon are in a state of war and you cannot or unable to make telephonic contact with Lebanon? What about internet? Can you not Skype relatives in Lebanon?
Oh, of course we can. We can Skype them. We can send them messages on Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp or any other electronic option. But the problem is that we know that they are being under surveillance from the Lebanese government, or more from the Hezbollah section of the Lebanese government. And we are not in any risk in Israel. We can even phone them with a regular Israeli phone directly to their phone. But we know that that could cause them a lot of trouble, and we don't want to do it for them because we know of many incidents after we fled to Israel that they have faced a lot of interrogations and being, you know, under surveillance and detained by the Lebanese authorities because we are in Israel.
Jonathan, were you surprised by the reaction of the Israelis to that disaster?
Well, we received immediately a huge amount of messages of support, you know, to make sure that our relatives are okay from friends and co-workers that we have in Israel. But then the mayor of Tel Aviv decided to light
the municipal building
with the flag of Lebanon. And to be honest with you, at that moment, I was kind of conflicted because we asked the mayor to light the city hall in the memory of the fallen soldiers from the South Lebanon Army that were part, you know, they were shoulder to shoulder with the IDF soldiers. And we have about 550 fallen soldiers during that time of war. And he refused to do so. So I kind of, on one hand, I enjoyed seeing, you know, the Lebanese flag in the center of Tel Aviv and being, you know, embraced by the Israeli population because of this tragedy. And on the other hand, I expected, you know, not only in moments of tragedy to be, you know, remembered and enlightened.
So interesting to put myself into your shoes and see it through your eyes. I had never factored that part of the equation in. I just saw this picture of the Lebanese flag on the Iria building in Tel Aviv and thought never in my lifetime did I think I would see something like that. Not thinking that you come with this whole other story that changes it somewhat.
Yeah, I love to see things from different perspectives and not just, you know, because in Israel, a lot of people went against it because Lebanon is an enemy state. So once we started posting, a lot of the South Lebanon Army families here started posting their own, you know, posts about the lighting of the building. And they kind of put it in a different perspective because we can't forget that the majority of the Lebanese population are okay with the existence of Israel. And our fight is not between the government and the Lebanese people in Israel, but it is with a terrorist organization that is controlling Lebanon and the Lebanese population. And this is something that we had to remind people of, that, you know, it's not all black and white. It's different. It's there's different ways to see it and different ways to look at it. And we made huge headlines. Unfortunately, in the sad explosion that happened, but we were able to change public opinion and public conversation about it.
I think that was very, you know, you could sense that after the event. What also was fascinating, there was all sorts of press recently following the event where people were saying, my goodness me, the economy of Lebanon has been brought to its knees. There's massive need. The port of Haifa is a couple of hours drive from Beirut. I mean, let the humanitarian aid come through. Apparently, Lebanon imports most of its food. Did you anticipate a change in the relationship between Israel and Lebanon owing to the disaster?
Well, unfortunately, the Lebanese government refused to get any aid from Israel. Although there were no publications after the announcement, so maybe they did enter them to Lebanon without, you know, making headlines.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
I assume that this happened. I don't think that the Lebanese government will let these small politics prevent, you know, from aid coming to help to people that are in need. But later on, we heard last month of a starting of a new negotiations between the Lebanese
government and the Israeli
government. And this is a huge thing because suddenly the Lebanese media, the Lebanese population, the Lebanese politicians start, even, you know, famous singers like Elisa. She's one of the famous singers in Lebanon, and she was chosen to be in the top 40, in the top 50, you know, people, influential people on Twitter. In this last year, and they were starting to speak that, yes, it's about time that we normalize our relationship between Israel and Lebanon. And it's about time that we stop fearing saying that out loud. And you can see a huge change in mine, and not only in mine, but on the way that they speak towards Israel. if before that, in Lebanon, you couldn't say on television, Israel without saying the enemy Israel or the occupied territories.
Wow.
Now you can hear the state of Israel and it stays like this. It doesn't come with a follow-up, name.
So the entity.
Yeah.
Jonathan, if you were to land in Lebanon tomorrow for whatever reason, what would happen to you?
Well, I would be immediately taken to custody. This is something that I didn't make published, so it's, you can say that this is first news. But I have a sentence against me in Lebanon by the military court for 15 years in labor work.
Why?
In prison. Because I got the Israeli ID. So this
But you were a minor. It wasn't even your choice. Your parents gave it to you.
Yeah, but they don't care. They care only if you are Israeli or not. So they kind of provoked, like they took away my my citizenship. And if I do enter Lebanon tomorrow, I would be immediately arrested and went to prison.
Wow, wow. Which brings me to my next question. Let's imagine a better time. There's peace tomorrow and everything's fantastic and marvelous. What would you do, Jonah?
I will go visit my village. This is the first thing that I want to do. Go meet my relatives that I haven't seen in 20 years. And, you know, one of the things that I really hope to achieve in this life is to give the opportunity for my parents to see their hometown and to see their relatives before they pass away. This is something that is really meaningful. And we always say if peace would happen one day, I don't see myself going back and living in Lebanon because Israel is my state and I see my future in Israel. But I would definitely would love to go have some weekends in my hometown because this is something
Does your gay identity have anything to do with that? Is the fact that that part of you is more accepted in Israel make you perhaps feel that way towards Israel rather than Lebanon?
I don't think so because you do see like a big gay scene in Beirut, for example. But because of the majority of my life I spent in Israel, my future is here, my friends are here, I've got my degrees here. This is something that is really part of me. Lebanon will always stay my homeland, but my home is in Israel.
Jonathan El-Khoury, ez ta'anug speaking to you. I did it again. I overran by 5 minutes, but hey, it was worth every last second. Thank you again so much for talking to us here on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. I love it every time.